All right, what is happening? Welcome to the Craft, your weekly pitching podcast. My name is Nick Pollock, and this week, as we prepare for opening day, I want to review the state of the game, the pitches that we are so excited to watch, and who better to bring on than Eno Saris from The Athletic. What a special guest this is today. Eno, thanks for being here.
I am excited to be here. It is almost opening day tomorrow. Oh my gosh. Big live party in San Francisco. For anybody who's listening, you're invited. It's free. Merch, food trucks, collaboration beers. Opening day watch party into live shows at 4:30 at Bear Bottle in San Francisco. Pretty excited about that. I will also appear on your opening day live stream. I'll be the opener.
Right. Nope. At playback.tv/pitcherless, we are doing something insane this year where we were actually able to stream live baseball games. It's not the game day or the Statcast. Like, if you have MLB.tv, you link it up with Playback, and then you watch the same game as everyone else in chat. So we're doing this for every single time that baseball is on the entire season. We're kicking it off tomorrow, 2:45 p.m. Eastern time. Eno will be there for a brief moment in the beginning before, of course, he goes off to his lovely event that I'm not invited to. And then we're going to have a lot of people.
Not practical for you to be there.
Jason Collette, Foolish Baseball. Mike Curlin will be there. Eric Samulski. So many people that you know from the industry are going to be at tomorrow's stream. And then you're going to see them a ton throughout the entire year. Paul Spohr, Justin Mason. We're creating essentially that place to watch baseball with other people. Stop watching it alone. It's amazing. And yes, again, you get to watch the live game at the same time as everyone else synced up. No more going to Twitter and be like, oh my God, a home run's hit? Oh, there it goes, right? And getting it spoiled for you. It's just so cool. So see you guys there tomorrow. But today we got to talk about our favorite pitches that we're excited to watch this year. And here's the thing. We talk about this a ton in the spring training, all these new pitches, all these guys that we're just excited to watch to get on the mound. But it's not always about the pitcher themselves. It's about one specific thing that we're hoping that they do. And I talk about this a lot in my daily SP Roundup articles where I say, hey, is this guy doing this thing that should lead to success or not? And a lot of times one pitch determines how they do on the field. So we want to go over the ones that we're looking forward to the most. And, you know, I know I spoiled one beforehand and you were so upset that I mentioned him because I kind of guessed that you were going to say him. But who is this Mets pitcher that has a pitch that you're looking forward to?
No, actually, let's start with a comeback story. Guessed. He guessed two of my five pitches before he came on air. I will give you the clues. Because I didn't want to give him any clues, but we're preparing to go on air. And he was some of my pitches are like this, some of my pitches are like this. And I was like, well, one pitch is just one we haven't seen in a while, and I was excited to see it. Like, yeah. There's no other sort of none of that. And he was like, is it Sandy Alcantara? And I'm like, yeah. Sandy Alcantara sinker, because we haven't seen it really for a year. And we've seen it in spring, and we've got some metrics. We know he's probably back. We know he's 97-ish, but, you know, how much will he get to that sort of 97-8? He had the, the hardest sinker in 2023. Will he go and throw the hardest sinker among starting pitchers again? Will that be true? He had the third best stuff plus along with Hauk and Wheeler. Will it be, you know, one of the top three sinkers in the league, probably the top sinker in the league when you think about volume and velocity and beauty? I mean, I also just love sinkers because, you know, they're like changeups where the movement, you see it, especially with the like weird angle. Yeah. That we get, you know, that's like offset from behind.
Oh,
really,
I know.
You see it. Yeah, you really see the sinker in ways that, like, you know, one of the hardest pitches I think to see and appreciate is the gyro slider. Sometimes you're just
completely.
You're like, what?
Yeah, we don't have a straight enough angle to really understand that it's going down. And also the arm, you don't get like right behind the arm, even if it's directly on home plate, the arm is still going to be off to the right, going toward that center target, right?
Yeah, so it looks really unimpressive, a gyro slider. But a sinker, you've got that arm side movement, you've got that big shape, and it looks, this is a complicated word, and it's fraught with sort of like people to, I'm not saying that the pitching motion is unnatural. There's something almost the pitching motion is actually kind of natural. If you look back, we've thrown rocks, we've thrown javelins. Like it's like it's not like as humans we didn't throw things hard, you know?
Yeah.
But there's something about the sinker that looks almost unnatural. That way that it, like, you know what I mean? Like it just,
yeah, of course.
It's like going to the plate. Direction. And then it's just like, it's opposite direction. It goes down. It's just, I love it. And I can't wait for Sandy to be back in the league. Of course, there's, you know, you're coming off of Tommy John. A lot of times you lose command. So will he be able to place it? Will he just come back and be who he is? There are guys, I think, who have sort of come back from Tommy John and just been who they are. And I wonder if Sandy can be one of them. So,
I mean, sometimes they're even better than that, right? Like Tarik Skubal, adding two ticks for himself. So we have, I don't know if you know this, you know, we have our own PLV Stuff Plus. It's been in beta for a bit, but we're ready to showcase it for the regular season. And I have the live feed already set up for spring training. So we went searching for whatever data we had on Sandy Alcantara this spring and saw on March 10th, we got it. So his four seamer actually has a, I don't know what it is for you. It's an 88.4 PLV Stuff Plus, but the sinker, 119. Yeah. Yeah. 21 inches of ride on that. 21 inches of run. What? I don't think I see that ever. Like I see 19, but 21 at 97? Nice. No one's gonna be able to hit this.
Yeah, we got a 107 Stuff Plus on it. I think the sinker's back.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited.
Is that
me at Sandy,
run
and then
you
have the change up underneath at 90, 91 at 118 Stuff Plus for us as well. PLV Stuff Plus. And then the slider is up to 124. I've missed you, Sandy. I really have. And, you know, I'm wearing my Toby shirt today, which is kind of funny because I'm excited about pitchers, not like a boring Toby. But
he had,
should have had Sandy crush on.
He had 18 inches of run in 2023.
Well, well, well.
And you said he just had, he's getting
21 plus. Is what we're seeing for IHB here, induced horizontal break.
Yeah, I mean, what if it's even better? What if he's healthy and it's even better?
I can't wait. Yeah. And remember also that 2023 season wasn't so good, right? That was worse Sandy. So it wouldn't be too shocking. But yeah, Sandy Alcantara is a sinker, is a really good call. I'm going to go with a pitcher in Los Angeles who we also really haven't seen for a while. And there are many elements of what he does that I'm very excited about, but there's actually specifically one thing that I got really excited about. And this is actually even just today that I'm excited about. And the pitcher is Dustin May. I'm just so looking forward to this. We want to talk about like sinker ride and everything. Like, are you kidding me? He's been someone who's just made Manny Machado go viral for swinging at that 100 mile per hour sinker inside with Pitching Ninja. And funny enough, our sinker PLV Stuff Plus from yesterday was not very good. Despite 21 inches of horizontal break, it only had an 85 Stuff Plus. But the highest one we had from yesterday was not his curveball, not his sinker, not Dustin May's cutter, not his changeup. It was the four-seamer, and he used it also exactly as he should. Dustin May has a 1.4 height-adjusted VAA on that four-seamer. That is a flat four-seamer. That is a low arm angle that excels when it's upstairs, and against lefties, Dustin May used to throw sinkers against them. He actually turned it into four-seamers, and they were effective upstairs, and he had 108 PLV Stuff Plus on this four-seamer at 95-96. Oh, you think about Dustin May with like, okay, he can't get strikeouts, right? Because he's just the sinker going here and the sweeper going away, which is really a curveball, but it's a sweeper. Can we agree on that, by the way? You know, like this 85 mile per hour curveball that doesn't have depth to it. It's a sweeper, isn't it? Like,
I mean, what Savan is saying is that he has a sweeper and a curveball.
Oh, that's interesting.
But they actually look pretty similar. I'm looking at this right now. What is going on here? This is only spring data, and it's saying that he has one pitch that's called a sweeper that goes 85.4 miles an hour, has 17 inches of glove, side and minus two vertical movement. And then he has another pitch called a curveball that's 85.3 miles an hour and has 17 inches of glove side and minus 2 inches of vertical.
That's the same pitch. It's the same pitch. Yeah, it is. I mean, what's interesting too is a sweeper is a curveball. And everyone goes, what are you talking about, Nick?
I mean, the grip is a curveball, right?
The grip is a curveball. It's just a lower arm angle. I've been talking about this with Rich Hill. That, oh, but his curveball is a slurve. It just goes this way. And that's why I've always hated slurves, because it's all
this is a bit of a slurve, though, because some sweepers don't have this minus 2 inches of vertical movement.
Sure.
Some sweepers have more ride.
Right. So that's, I think, about more about wrist placement of the grip. So like as it's coming out, are you completely doing throwing the pizza where you're completely showing your two fingers to the batter as you go across the baseball? Or are you getting a little higher on that wrist and getting more of that karate chop motion as you come out of it? I don't know, but this is clearly like the same pitch.
It's the same pitch. I mean, I think a lot is going to be maybe on his cutter, because if the sweeper and the curve are the same pitch, then he's four seam sinker sweeper, and he's going to need something more against lefties.
Right.
I mean,
the changeup. The cutter is exactly what you're talking about. The interesting thing, and it's like Lander Rop almost, of like having that like gas station in between.
This is like Lander Rop with like two more ticks.
Right. So the four seamer excites me because I considered him very much like those Will Warren, Clark Schmidt, Michael King types that don't really have a four seamer they can rely on. It's about, okay, cool, you got to figure out how to get out lefties.
This might be good.
But this four seamer, because it's flat and it's at 95, 96, this actually works. And it worked in this game yesterday for Dustin May. So now, like, oh my gosh, you know, it's a Dodgers pitcher correctly using their four seamer upstairs.
And we did something in our model that that recently that affects what the model might think of him, especially his four seam, which is I'm seeing we have a 119 stuff plus for his four seam this spring, and you know that is arm angle agnostic because we don't have arm angle in the spring. And I'll have a little bit more on that later. But, what we did do was we put into the model their previous fastball mix. And what that does is it tells you. So, like, you know, Adam Ottavino reached out to me and was like, why is my four-seam stuff plus so good? And I was like, well, given your previous selection of pitches, they expect the sinker. Right. So it's complicated because that means that it's not agnostic. You can't tell Adam Ottavino, don't throw the four seam more. He's like, I was just interested because my four seam is performing really well, but the raw stats are bad. And then your stuff plus says it's good. And I'm like, yeah, it's only good about where you use it. Cause if you use it more, the stuff plus will go down. And that's a little
like
bit
a potential stat you can have. Like, is this 100% potential?
Well, cause the fun part is we can change what we tell the model. So we could say, let's just dial into the model. Let's say, what if he threw 20% four seamers? What would the stuff plus be? Because we can just tell the model,
right.
He's thrown 20% four seamers. What would it be? You know, then the stuff plus would go down. So you can actually, it can give you an expected stuff plus in a way if you play with it. Well, what it's not telling you though is this, and that has made the model more predictive because it's standing in the box with the hitter and it's saying, Adam Ottavino, I see that arm angle. He has a great sinker. I'm thinking sinker.
Right.
If you then throw the four seam, you're like, whoa, what was that? You know?
Right.
So it's made the model more predictive and it's stood in the box more with the pitcher, with the batter, but it's not telling you what the true talent of the pitch is.
Right.
The true talent of Adam Ottavino's four seam is not good.
So I'm just having this in my head right now of what a really fun idea is just having a chart that is of the mixes, right? And correct me if I'm wrong, you're saying four seamer versus sinker, and that's really it. Are you including cutter in there?
We might have cutter in there. We think we might have cutter.
Just a bell curve that is for each individual pitch that is saying, hey, if this makes up, you know, you assume the same ratios of the others. Yeah. So like if you throw like 40% sinkers and 20% cutters, then if you, you know, if you take away 10%, then it becomes like, or 20%, I don't know.
Yeah, you can like rerun the model. You can like rerun the model each time.
So that's what I'm saying. So you can create a bell curve, or like you can create a chart of like, okay, cool. Assuming four seamer percentage is 100% to zero, where is the peak stuff? Right?
Right.
And that actually will also say, great, at 100%, we have the ultimate true neutral.
Yeah.
Because this is all they throw. This is it. We have nothing else backing it up, needing, influencing it, right?
It's like almost like original Nick Pivetta.
Yeah. Oh, man. That was an interesting time.
The original just all four-seam guy, you know? I think that teams are probably doing this because they really dial in. You know, they'll have a guy throw a new pitch, but they're not saying, well, you have a sinker now, just like... whatever, like throw it.
Yeah.
Like how much would, you know, Jared Jones have thrown the new sinker? How much would these guys who are adding sinkers, how much are they throwing it? They're not throwing it a ton. And more on that later. I actually have the most thrown new pitch is one of my pitches.
Oh, I was about to say most thrown sinker. You're going to talk about Jack Juanowitz's sinker? Oh my gosh.
No, most thrown new pitch.
Yeah,
But yeah, Jack Juanowitz. Like what if he threw a four seam? If he threw a four seam, it'd probably be pretty crappy by movement.
Right.
But
it's a surprise.
If you threw it 5% of the time, might be good.
Zach
if you threw it 10% of the time,
good example of this.
Not as good. If you threw it 20% of the time, whoa, stop throwing that thing.
Right, so, exactly. Zach Eflin throws his four seamer like 10% of the time, but it's only in two strike counts.
Yeah.
Get away with that for a season. Probably not again because the guy's like, well, it's going to be a four seamer versus the fastball now. But
just to bring it back to May, right? Like,
yeah.
I feel like right now, he's throwing it 50% of the time that he throws the sinker. So he's throwing the sinker 40% of the time, throws the four seam 20% of the time. His is 95.6 and has 8 inches more ride than his sinker, right?
Right.
So I think this is a good mix. I think I don't think he should throw the four seam more than this. I think the sinker is his best fastball.
I agree.
But, you know, there's lefties to deal with. There's all this. I think this is a good enough fastball that he can handle 20%. And, you know, the model says, model says this is a good fastball. And
so excited.
Yeah, this is a good
one. So I
teased it. Should I do it?
Of course.
The number one by percentage, these are tracked pitches in the spring that have data. So, you know, there's all sorts of pitches
this is the number one most thrown new pitch, right?
Number one most thrown new pitch, and this is by percentage. So within the pitchers, and they didn't throw it, you know, more than 5% of the time last year. This year, this person is throwing it 20% of the time this spring.
Okay, so this is, and what pitch type is it?
If I tell you, you might know right away.
Well, I mean, I already think I know what it is.
It's a sweeper.
Oh, it's not
new sweeper. The pitcher's throwing it 20% of the time this spring.
Throwing a sweeper 20% of the time this spring. I mean, I know Richard Fitz, I think, didn't really throw one last year, but maybe he's throwing one out. No. Maybe it's the same team. It's like Bueller or something. What we got?
Max Meyer's sweeper.
Oh, dang it. Oh, of course. I'm more interested in his slider, but yeah, keep going. I actually have Max
Meyer's slider. Well, the slider is probably his better pitch. That's the pitch he grew up with. That's the pitch he was
just
drafted on.
It's harder now, though.
Yeah.
I want to see if that actually turns it up a notch.
It's an end around of saying I'm interested in him as a pitcher, but
yeah, right.
That's fun. You know, one of the things that, you know, we just talked about whether or not a Dustin Mays pitch was a curve or a slur or a sweeper. And Max Meyer has 11 inches of glove side run. So he has 6 inches less than Dustin May.
Right.
And he has 4.4 inches of Y. So that's 2 more inches of drop than Dustin May. So if we thought that Dustin May's curve was slurvy, this is pretty slurvy.
Yeah.
And maybe it'll work. You know, it's certainly good for him to have another breaking ball because he's had the hard breaking ball and this is the soft breaking ball. If it's a slurve, it's a slurve. If it's a sweeper, it's a sweeper. It's classified as a sweeper. It's the most thrown new pitch. I just think it's so weird that Max Meyer has a 19% career strikeout rate. And this spring, when he's changed so much about what he throws, I mean, he's changed the ride on his four seam. I think he's added a sinker. He's added a sweeper. He's throwing the slider two ticks harder. And his spring K percentage is 0.6% better than his regular. 19.6 in the spring. I didn't even realize 19 that. For his career. I mean, that's Max so Meyer, funny. You know, you might do all these things, come in and just be a little bit luckier and just be an okay guy. But it's an okay guy who pitches in Florida and Miami.
Yeah. I mean, I hear what you're saying completely. I think we'd both agree that I think you're just giving a suggestion. It's just kind of funny of like 19.6% versus 19. But what we often do see, and this is kind of the thing with Job, I think, is when guys show up in spring and they have these new things, they haven't quite figured out how to use them yet.
Yeah.
Right. And so part of that process of like, cool, I'm trying to get strikeouts. Well, really, you're not really trying to get strikeouts that much. In the spring, you're trying to figure out what can get strikeouts necessarily. What am I supposed to work on today?
Well, get whiffs or,
right? And that might be something cool. Season starts. We begin to see what the actual game plan is and how these things come together. And throwing this slider that was already like obviously the best pitch for Max Meyer, and then adding two ticks to it without losing much movement on it. I mean, I was really surprised to see that part. It's very similar. And
really
then
close to a 0-0
on top.
It's a 1.5 -1.
Right.
It's a 0-0 gyro slider at 90 miles an hour. This should
and
be
I love it. With the better four seamer coming in a tick harder with the sinker now as well, with that embraces the lower arm angle. That's a good
I'd almost
thing.
Call this. Yeah. But the sweeper, as much as I want to call it a slurve, it's 86.6
yeah,
miles
right?
per hour. That's more so sweeperist velo. And most sweepers over 85 miles an hour are good. I mean, that's what Sonny Gray said. He said, I stopped chasing the movement as much as I wanted the velo on that thing.
Yeah, that makes sense. Lots of good pick with Max Meyer. I had his slider on my list. And I'll even go to Jackson Jobe's curveball now because I think this is the same kind of conversation of, hey, where are the whiffs? Where is the dominance?
Yeah.
From Jackson Jobe, right? He's this big time prospect throwing 97. He has this absurd stuff plus curve and cutter. Really, the curve is for us is I can't remember exactly what it is, but it's great. And he isn't getting these strikeouts. So watching him, I think that there's again that blueprint for success that he hasn't executed quite yet, where that curve, which is too plain and just stupid good. Isn't being used enough right now, while the cutter locations and four seamer locations, the right hander is not great. But then against lefties, he's actually executing his game plan really well. It's the Blake Snell blueprint of four seamers up, changeups and cutters down. And I think that as the season goes on, you're going to see Jobe really embrace this curve because it is so filthy. It's one of those breaking balls that you normally see at like 75 or something, 77, but it's like 82. And I just know that he's going to lean into that a ton and then really find the groove of like, when do I throw a cutter? When I throw a four seamer against right-handers and everything's going to come together. But I think it does rely on that curve more than I would like. So I'm really going to be keying in on that pitch early on. And yeah, I'm just excited. We finally get Jackson Jobe in the rotation. Thank you, Tigers. So appreciate.
Yeah. The only wrinkle I can throw on this is that we have a great stuff plus number on it in spring, the curve 125. And of course, just like always before, we love all of his pitches. The stuff plus loves all his pitches, even his sinker and change, which don't register that well, or like 98, 99 stuff plus in the spring. It does seem like he's more of a breaking ball guy, where he throws the cutter, the sweeper, this new curveball. And so I think he's going to be a three breaking ball guy that, you know, throws just enough sinkers and changes to make it a five pitch mix. I think he'll dial down the changeup usage actually. At least that's what the model would suggest him to do.
Yeah. I think it was something he was working on yesterday. He threw 10 of them, for example.
Right. And he's thrown 30 this spring where he's only thrown 26 curves. The one thing I would say is we have this model, the throwing out like expected swings now because we've separated the model into a swing model, a take model, and so on and so forth. He has a very low expected swing number on that pitch on the curve, 32% swing rate. So I would just expect, and by stuff plus, so that's the pitching plus expected. By stuff plus, the expected swing rate is 30.8. So like, that's a really low swing number. So he's going to probably have to learn to use it to get called strikes,
yep.
Which means that he has to command it well.
Right.
And he's so far his location plus has been good, but with a new pitch, maybe sometimes the lag is, can I land it in the zone when I want it to? And can I land it in the zone when I want it to without it looking like a lollipop?
Right.
There are guys who can kind of lollipop something into the zone 0-0, and they can get away with that for a while. I think Kyle Hendricks used to do that with his curve. Mm-hmm. It was like just, you know, try to steal a strike with it. Yeah, but if it's not that great of a pitch, then if you do it too often, then hitters start to put that in the scouting report and be like, hey, you know, every once in a while he's going to lollipop an easy-to-hit curve. So you could just sit curve 0-0 one time, and if it's not curve, just take it and see what happens. If it is curve, maybe hit a homer. So, you know, that's where, you know, the finesse comes in. And just looking at, you know, the expected swing strike, which kind of incorporates getting them to actually swing.
Right.
Jobe's best pitch is his four seam, actually. I think that might actually explain some of.
Yeah, because it's a 94 PLB stuff plus for us. And he doesn't have extension. 6.3. Actually yesterday was 16. But at 96.
I don't know if this is true. This is true in the spring, at least.
But
if his best pitch is his curveball, I mean, his four seam in general, then that might explain a little bit of why, you know, there's not as many whiffs.
Right.
Because just generally you throw your fastball a lot, and they don't get as much. They don't get as many whiffs, and you might end at bats early with pop-ups and other sort of things.
That's so interesting.
I could keep your ERA low and your K percentage low a little bit.
I love this. This is fantastic. And I remember seeing a chart of this expected swings on curveballs. I remember seeing Aaron Nola's all the way in the top right corner, you know, just like expected swing versus whiff. And Aaron Nola was there. And then Cole Reagan's was really low. And it's like, right, every time he throws that curveball, nobody does anything to it. And there's something to be said about throwing a curveball that is easier to identify out of the hand than others. Gallen's, for example, is the true death ball. I'm sorry, Jeff Passan, you got it wrong. It wasn't Jordan Montgomery's in that World Series.
Gallen's just goes straight out and then straight down.
Like, right.
There's no hump, really. It's just...
Right. And it does seem that Jackson Jobes then has this hump, has these characteristics that would be a low swing chance.
Yeah, that's what the model's saying, at least. Yeah,
right. So this has me thinking a lot of things. Of one, it is interesting to say, like, hey, this guy throws 96. Yeah, that's not his... That actually isn't his most effective pitch. It is in expected swing strike rate, but it's because, of course, swing rates are as high as they are, which then tells me that that's what guys want. That's what guys are going up against Jackson Jobe. They're gearing up for that heater, and they need to, you know, they're going after that. And he has.
We have 17 vert for the spring, which is, it's not dead zone, but it's slightly above average, but it's not great. And it's 97, but if you gear up for 97, you can hit it.
But the thing is, if you have this cutter that is effective as a strike pitch at 90,
it's a bit of a slutter.
Right. Oh, no. That term. I'm scarred from that term, not just because of what it sounds like, but it's the reason why sweepers are designated as ST. Mike Petriello informed me on this. It's because the code in Baseball Savant was ready to go for slutters, and they stopped because of obvious reasons. And then they had the sweeper. They're like, well, we already wrote this thing for ST. You want to just use that? Like, yeah. And that's why.
Well, I mean, I just say it's not a gyro slider because 0-0 is a gyro slider. He has 6.5 inches of glove side movement, and it's not a cutter because cutters usually have 8, 9, 10 inches of ride, and he has 1.
Right.
So it's a power slider. You can just call it a power slider.
Power slider. That's so much better. Oh. Yeah. Oh, that sounds good. Yeah, power
slide. Yeah, I mean, it's 89 miles an hour, and has great. Something in common with cutters. I mean, this is that's his best secondary, but it's also not the type of pitch that would create a ton of whiffs. So you see, it's like already okay. His two best pitches are not necessarily the profiles right. of pitches that well, create a lot
so,
of whiffs.
So I guess what I'm trying to think about is how do we, you know, if we're saying cool, they're going after the fastball, and that means also with the power slider, they're not. You're either making contact on them because it's too close to the fastball, or there's just more characteristics of that that induce it. How do you change how batters approach Joe?
How do you right? get whiffs if you're
cutting? And that would be, sounds like to me, is the pitch backwards more. Make the four-seamer more of the surprise than in the baseline.
Yeah.
Because you do have this really nice changeup and curveball and cutter. You can surprise with sinkers in there too. The sweeper, which is hilarious. We have that at three thrown from yesterday, and sweepers are always going to be a little weird in our models. I think they were with yours too, because of like Ohtani's was the baseline initially. You're like, oh, okay.
It doesn't look that great. I mean, it has less glove side movement than his curveball.
But it has it at 213 PLB stuff plus.
Yeah, the model always loves the sweepers.
You know, it's so stupid. And okay, I'm going to just, I always just kind of knock it away. I'm like, okay, sweeper, get out of here. Sorry, ST. You want to make a statement, I get it, because ST, I get it. But anyway, that might be actually how Joe figures that out. And
it's also possible the model is undervaluing the changeup a little bit because, you know, 16 inches of arms on movement, 5 inches of vertical, like that should be good by, you know, it's a good power changeup. So
we've spent a lot of time on Joe.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I want to move on to your next one. Probably the best pitcher, but we're going to talk about him after this break. Who is this mystery Mets pitcher, Eno?
No, it's not a Mets pitcher.
What?
You're going to keep talking about that, and I'm going to just use him last. Here's a pitcher.
We'll think about what Mets
pitcher is. Here's a pitcher we've already seen. I'm still excited to see it because
what we got?
I can't figure it out. Roki Sasaki's four-seamer. So we've talked about it a little bit, and I know I don't, but we now have some major league data.
Yeah.
And so there's the good, you know, 97 miles an hour.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
The extension, which we've talked about, was it? What is it going to be? What's it going to be? Seven. It was good.
Seven. It was what Lance Berzowski reported, and props to him for doing that.
Yeah, especially because he got some blowback with people being like, they don't do it right all the time. It's not, you can't trust extension numbers from Japan. And it's like, well, 7 feet. Yeah. And that turns out to be important because if you take extension out of the comps and you just say, give me that 11 inches of arm side movement and that 14 inches of vertical, who else has it? I'm sorry to say,
no.
Johnny Brito.
Oh,
and the Johnny Brito's good pitch is a sinker. So this is not Johnny Brito's good fastball. The other person that is almost a dead knock for it, except a slightly different release point, but very close without extension, Carmen Mlodzinski.
Oh, another, number five for the Pirates, who's really a reliever.
And also whose better fastball is a sinker. So not good news so far. If you put extension back in, then you get a little bit closer actually to someone we do like.
Okay, so guess? Hold on a second. Okay, I think I know this because after Lance Berzowski's video, he was doing a comp and I texted him, hey, I think Roki Sasaki's best comp is Garrett Crochet.
Oh. I don't know why I didn't use him. I think actually Garrett Crochet has too much vert.
Okay. Yeah, it's like 14 and change. This is 13.1 is what we saw.
Okay, well, why didn't I use Garrett Crochet? Let me look over.
But like 7 inches of 7 feet of extension, 97, 98. We saw 98 in this one at 7.1 extension because I'm sure he was amped.
Alex Chamberlain's leaderboard is gonna reboot. Never mind. I did actually Crochet was like on the list, but this is the best comp.
Okay.
Gavin Williams.
Yeah. Well, I've called him the right-handed Crochet. Okay, cool.
Gavin Williams, 7.2 inches of extension. So better extension, but not worse extension. All the other ones had worse extension, right? So better extension. Roki Sasaki, 6.1 feet vertical release. Mm-hmm. Gavin Williams, 5.9. So that makes, so Gavin Williams is better, but it's similar. It's also 15 inches of vert to 13.6, so 15 to 14, like an inch. So Gavin Williams' fastball is better, but it's pretty close. I mean, 11 inches on the hard side, some point, like the extension's close. So if he's Gavin Williams with the fastball, that's pretty sexy, because the fork or whatever, the splitter
versus the curve slash slider and everything too with the, Gavin. Also, slider is not with seeing if Gavin.
Williams, I mean, I'd rather. I think I'd rather have Gavin Williams on.
I actually like, have Gavin Williams.
The fastball's better. The fastball's better. He's got the power slider. He's got the curve ball. He's got breaking balls. I don't know, but at least we're not talking about Johnny Brito and Carmel Mudzinski.
At least we are not. Bad. That is a very, very good point. I want to share something, actually. The big difference for me with Roki versus Gavin Williams, and I think I can do this with style, is I'm going to add this to the
sharing.
Thing.
There we go.
And this is the pitch plot from the Japanese game. And you will see something that is very common for me to get upset about.
Why can't he locate that high to righties? What is going on?
He can't do it. And I think that it hurts him a ton. And you also kind of see that with Roki
Sasaki.
Is that
about targets? Because you could, he can't locate it. He can't locate it glove side up.
Yeah.
He's not even trying, really.
The other element,
lefties, he's not trying.
The other pitch that I've been talking about with Gavin Williams is, I'm really excited to see the cutter. He reported to Eric Samulski at spring training saying that he's saving the cutter for the season, which I think when it comes to being an extension guy, you need the second pitch to be one that looks just like it and takes advantage of the tunneling. So usually for lefties, that's their changeup. And for a lot of righties, it turns into their cutter. Instead of their slider, slider is a little easier than the harder cutter that is just kind of like, well, the timing's right there. I got to go for this. That's how Garrett Crochet really does it, right? So I'm excited for that for him. But with Sasaki, he doesn't really show another look. I mean, there is the splitter, absolutely. And I think that's why the splitter gets as many whiffs as it does. Because at this extension, it's like, all right, I'm just going to gear up for the heater. Until Sasaki has something in between that is also a strike pitch that looks like the four-seamer, I don't think we're going to see those whiffs on it. We're going to see the whiffs on the splitter and not the four-seamer. Right.
And it's also a little bit unfortunate that there's no bridge pitch here. I think go back to it real quick.
Right, sure.
Because if you could see, like, okay, if I've got a pitch that kind of moves that way and is super hard, that's what I'm looking for. And anything else is going to drop off that. And I might be able to see that quickly.
Right.
You know, might be able to see it before my decision point where I'm gearing up for the fastball. I'm go, go, go. And as soon as I see that sort of dropping at all, mm-hmm. you know, off of that in terms of movement. And then like probably like a low fastball at 97, like if it's down at the knees, I don't want to swing at that either. So
right.
You're really just looking for it up, like up off the bottom of the zone and not dropping.
Well, that's the thing is like, I know I understand you can go the Gallen approach, right? Of these low four seamers and then splitters underneath it. I get that. But I think that means that guys are just going to be swinging a ton of that four-seamer down low, right? Yeah. And that's not really
and
what
we've
you want.
We saw hard contact.
Yeah.
All spring. So I'm just fascinated by this. It's doesn't really have a great comp out there.
So you know, I would
talking
say
about
that
Gavin Williams, but he's a breaking ball guy, and he's definitely not. He has he might actually have a little bit of the touch of Gossman on the splitter. He has really good touch on the splitter.
Oh yeah.
But I don't know that he's going to be throwing it for strikes a lot, and he still throws the fastball a lot. And his fastball is worse than Gossman's.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he doesn't spot it nearly as well as Gossman does.
Yeah.
So, there's also the interesting thing about how the splitter, this is actually something I want to clarify. There's a lot of confusion about Roki Sasaki in this splitter. And like, what is going on? You have one that's over here, and then one that's over here. Right, yeah. That is two different locations for it. And some are saying it's like a slider slash splitter.
Slices slightly two different movements. Yeah.
Well, one right. So like, I can actually, I think I can clear this up. This is something that I dealt with also because I used to throw a splitter, guys. And I think what's so cool about Sasaki is that
and
he's
now you hate them.
It. Now I hate, well, I have a relationship with them. I understand nuance, you know. Unbelievable. The things I got to deal with. Okay. So what I want to show you guys here is that's not the right one. That's the right one. Is when you're throwing a splitter, how you come off of the ball affects its movement. So if you're doing equal pressure on both index and middle finger or whatever the two fingers you're using, you're going to keep it straight. You're going to keep it so that it doesn't tilt. It's think of it like a knuckleball. You don't want it to really change that rotation. However, sometimes I certainly did this is I accidentally put too much pressure here and all of a sudden getting some small slider spin, right? And it's coming off differently. And that will change it. If you're really consistent in keeping it down like this, you'll have that same rotation going down. But if you come across on the side, if you get a little bit on the side of it, it will change its movement. You know, focus on one finger more than the other, right? It's supposed to be something that's consistent on both sides and it can tilt. And it seems like Sasaki's actually controlling it a little bit because there isn't like a bridge.
There was a piece. There was a piece on Baseball Perspectives that was suggesting that he can do that.
Right, which is so awesome because he does throws look like
a more slidery splitter, and then he throws.
He's just coming off the side of it more, as opposed to staying straight down, which is really cool. So that's fun about Sasaki. But yeah, I actually have it listed here for me. It was the fourth pitch, the one we haven't seen from Sasaki. That's the pitch I can't wait for because I know something's going to show up. He's not going to be the slider so inconsistent. Sometimes looks like a
cutter or something.
Can't do it.
Four seam or sinker. Sinker, yeah.
Whatever it is, it's going to appear at some point, and I'm going to get really hyped for that. Moving to another elite pitcher, I'm going to say Jacob DeGrom's changeup. Because, yes, we know him as a four-seam slider guy, and I remember this famous quote, which I think about a ton, which is, well, I kept throwing my curveball and my changeup, and then I would allow a hit on it, and I would go, why did I throw that? My fastball and slider are just much better. And he stopped doing it. But yesterday, we saw Jacob DeGrom at 96. I know, my gosh, my pearls are clutched. But he should be a 97. That's my expectation.
He also said he might be pitching slower on purpose.
Well, yeah, not 99 and 100 was that quote to 97, which I'm like, that's fine. Everything's fine. His command on against the righties was amazing. Sliders down and away and four seamers away. And what was so fun was to see, I think it was 12 changeups with four whiffs on it to lefties. And they're all spotted down and away. Like these weren't, a lot of times we see guys throw changeups more. And it's just like, well, there's one over here and there's one over there. And it's way out, you know, oh, there's a couple good ones. It's like, no, DeGrom's like, all right, I'm just going to throw a changeup now. And this is life. And that's, oh my gosh, as if he needed another weapon.
I mean, but 12 it does seem inches like more do. Drop than his four seam.
That's insane. Yeah, and what is he throwing it at? It's like 88.
88, yeah. So it's a power change. It's almost,
but with massive drop to it and spotted.
Yeah, it's not a splitter because it has 13 inches of arm side movement. It's a power change. It's like it looks a little bit like the Greinke.
Oh, yeah. If Greinke also threw 98 or whatever.
Yeah.
But you're right. So like, I just want to make this put this on people's radars of hey, DeGrom is now doing this thing that I think is just going to continue his success. You know, I'm excited.
And the one thing that makes me worried, you know, from that same start was just that, you know, command, like there are studies that show the command does not come back first. And so, I don't know. He has such great command that maybe he cannot have A+ DeGrom command and be all right. But like that, he threw a fastball to, I think it was like an 0-2 or 1-2 fastball to Sal Perez that, you don't want, it was like 2 inches outside the zone. It's Sal Perez who swings at everything outside the zone.
Oh yeah. Like, right.
You know, it's like, I was like, I think he wanted that up and like 3 inches out more. I think he missed that spot by a fair amount. Then again, if you go spot chasing and you're like, oh, he missed a spot, you will. You quickly realize how often they miss their
spots. And the thing is, like, DeGrom is generally, like, even against right-handed, he doesn't miss these, like, arm side, you know?
Yeah. Like, it was a glove side miss. This one was a glove side miss.
Right? He generally nails it. And, like, I talk about pitch separation a lot. I love seeing strike zone plots where it's just, like, green is over here, yellow is over here, and red is over here, you know? That's, to me, a sign of just insane command. If you're just generally clumping each of these together. And then there's a question of like, all right, is that the right place to clump them? Should there be more variety? Should there whatever? But that you can do what you want at that point.
Yeah, the Grom's four-seam fastball heat map. There's two clumps. One is inside the righties. One is inside the lefties.
Yeah.
And then there's another one that's like maybe the swinging strike one that's like just about like just at the very top of the zone.
Yeah. It really, I can't express enough. He just made a circle around down and away to righties, sorry, lefties with the changeup. So I think you guys should be paying attention to the Grom changeup. It's looks like it's kind of real, and that's just another fun thing to watch.
Oh yeah, look at those changeups. Beautiful.
See,
and they're not in the dirt either. They're like,
no.
Yeah.
Ah, I'm so excited. Yeah.
I was just annoyed because I was like, are you watching this? It's great. And then I was like, why are they scoring runs?
Well, I also don't think that DeGrom's going to throw 96.
Hmm.
I think he's actually going to be throwing 97. Like, let's be honest.
I think he was annoyed. He threw something like 96 and a half and someone hit it. India hit it to like the warning track for the first pitch of the game. And I think he was kind of like, all right, am I really going to do this or am I going to throw as hard as I can?
But he's being smart about it. He's ramping in more, it seems like, too. Mm. He's the fourth starter, not the first, second, right?
Plus, so, it's spring. How much does DeGrom care about a spring game?
Right, and that's the thing, too. I mean, yeah, he big leagues everyone, including spring, okay? All right, we're going to move on to his former team, finally, I hope, unless you got another one.
But we're going to talk about I'll leave my last one pitch. To be a full surprise at the end.
Okay, good. We'll talk about that after this break. All right, Eno, we've teased it the entire episode. Who is this mess pitcher and what is the pitch?
Well, just the backstory on what I was talking about earlier about the model is that we had this situation where there's some data in spring you don't have. And so like arm angle is not really there. And so we had to tell our model to be like, hey, it's okay. Run without this one piece of information, you know, be 9/10 as good as you are normally. Right. Right. And so to do that, we told it, don't worry about nulls. Don't worry about zeros. Right. Unfortunately, what happens is in the database, if AJ Smith-Shawver's pitches in a place where there is absolutely no stat cast, they still fill it in, so he still appears just no information for every pitch. And so the model was just like, I'm going to make things up. And it was like, AJ Smith-Shawver has a 39 stuff plus. And you're like, and then somebody, I think Nestico came into the Discord and was like, how do you have a stuff plus number for AJ Smith-Shawver? And so asked the modelers, and they're like, oh, that's interesting. It's just making it up. So we had one where it's basically, we had to tell it, accept nulls, don't accept entire nulls. Like, don't accept like a pitch that has no information, please. Yeah. You know, and so I just was able to clean up Stuff Plus and rerun it. And I'm looking at a per pitch type one. This is interesting. Griffin Jax's curve, which he threw 28 times, is number one by spring training Stuff Plus, but the name that really popped off, Casey Mize is there, but we've talked about him a million times. We don't have to talk about it again. And we've talked about Tyler McGill a million times, but the flip side is that so much depends upon this four seamer.
Yes.
And to have this four seamer, come out of spring training with a similar, stuff plus to Taj Bradley's four seamer, Lucas Erceg's four-seamer, even Gavin Williams' four-seamer is behind Tyler McGill's. And this is just a straight schedule play. Pretty good. I'm starting him against Houston. I know that's not the best, but there's a lot of home in Tyler McGill's future. I love his home park. I love him with 140 stuff plus on his four-seam. That's a spring number. It's not going to be 140 during the regular season. But... So. It seems like he's in good shape.
What is the location plus on that four-seamer?
What is the location plus on that four-seamer?
Because I'm going to say this really quick.
Not good. 84.
So here's the... I think we actually did a podcast before about like high stuff, low location guys. Uh-huh. And with Tyler McGill, he is... I mean, he's an extension boy. Like 7.4 or something amazing. Throwing 96 at times, and you just go, dude, you're throwing what? This is amazing.
And that's what he's doing. He's throwing 96 right now with 16 inches of vert. And
if it's like the whole picture needs to be like great, like Bailey Ober does. Okay, cool. Well, actually, Bailey Ober hasn't, and that's another story. But like generally is like four seamers go upstairs and then the changeup comes underneath here and the cutter goes on the other side like that. But damn, done. I make baseball happen. And Tyler McGill is like, oh, cool. Fastball. Boom. Oh, where did that one go? Okay, cool. Great. I'm going to try and go upstairs, but then maybe do the slider and cutter or curve and splitter. But it all doesn't, it's very much of a, you know, it's a meal that hasn't been cooked yet, right? It's the ingredients and he hasn't really that works and sticks.
I know. Why don't you just show his if you have, do you have his pitch plot?
Oh yeah, I do. I do have that. I also want to
look at it right now, and there are definitely at least three or four waste pitches in a sample that only has 75 pitches. I don't know, it doesn't look that terrible to me.
Well, actually, but the last game was the most encouraging. It's like he has it, but it's like truncated to the middle.
Yeah,
and then it just needs to like expand out, you know.
He's not good at hitting the top of his zone. Like there's a little bit of a heat map there, but
yeah,
his best place that he can throw the four seam is low and inside to the lefties. So
low and inside to the lefties.
That's where he's throwing it the best. I'm not saying the best for him in outcomes. It's just that's where he's able to replicate it the most.
Oh no.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's like, not ideal.
That's the danger zone. That's like the
danger zone. Yeah.
That's what we want. No. I don't have that on quick call just because I don't remember what day he pitched last, Tyler McGill. But maybe it was Saturday. I will say, you want to know something that's kind of funny that you say, oh, you already talked about this guy? This random person pitched yesterday, and they had a 122 PLV stuff plus on their slider and a 67 PLV stuff plus on their four-seamer. That was Casey Mize.
Wow.
What do you have?
Our models are so divergent, man. Spring, I don't know. I'm feeling a little, I didn't, in my ranks, I didn't put spring stuff plus model in the numbers in the ranks. And some people were like, can you put them in? Then I'm like, I don't.
Yeah. Well, I understand. I feel like this is off.
Yeah.
That said, usually when it's off like this, like there's something causing it. And we saw Mize at 94.8, not 95 to 96, and at only 15.6 vert as opposed to like 17 and a half, 18, which would explain a little bit of it, because then now it's just saying, oh, cool, this is a dead zone fastball, like the average mile per hour. Sure, you have 7 feet of extension, but like that's not enough. While the slider actually performed well yesterday, it had a fair, it had 41% CSW as his most thrown pitch. And I'm going, oh, what? Did you find finally? Like, he didn't really throw the four-seamer or the splitter much.
I've got some 96s for the 25th, so yesterday.
Yeah.
I've got some 90. Yeah, I mean, 94.9, 94, 193.7, 93.8. But he hit 96, 95.8. He kind of got it going.
Okay, so scaled up.
Yeah, in the fifth inning, it was 94.9, 95.6. In the seventh inning, it was 95.8, 94.8, 96.0.
Okay.
So maybe it was because he also, I think he came into bullpen. The game.
Yeah, it was from the bullpen and everything too. That's good.
I would
good
say
to
that
hear.
Was a little bit weird. I think that was a weird appearance for him. But generally, 18 inches of vert on the four seam with a 96 mile an hour average and a 6.9 extension. I would say that that's a pretty good pitch, especially if he has a sinker that he throws, you know, off of that. So I think he's pushed the four seam about as far as it can go. The only, I think one of the only worries I have is, you know, he's throwing these a couple sliders. The slider average, I don't think tells the whole story, because he says he's throwing three sliders. So he's throwing a gyro slider. He's throwing like a Marcus Stroman, like sort of power curve. And then he's throwing a sweeper. And the sweeper is split out, but the slider just has one big glob, and it says it's 86.5 with kind of gyro movement. Maybe he can do that. He was throwing one pitch that's like 90 miles an hour, and I do get a little bit worried. It's Gavin Williams does that too with the power slider.
Right.
It's the DeGrom power slider. I'm not an expert in that in matters of health. I feel like that is such a big deal that I don't want to just like, you know, raise alarms when I shouldn't, but I do get a little nervous myself if I start to see a ton of 90 mile hour sliders.
I mean, I think with extension, it's okay. Yeah. Like it can work a lot. And honestly, for Mies, like
it's not quite 90. It's like,
it doesn't 80. Need to be amazing. Yeah. It just needs to be something like, hey, cool. Can you get strikes with us? All right. Thanks. Because right. like it has a splitter, which is looking
and
better
he's
than it used to.
39% whiff rate this spring on 63 sliders. Like that's good that news. Works. That's why we're excited because the splitter is good. The four seam he's pushed to a good level. He's got the four seam and the sinker. The sinker was his old pitch. So he can throw that. So
yeah, right.
He's got the best overall mix he's ever had.
And you know the pitcher that he reminds me the most of, right? So I kind of get them both confused because they both start with the letter C, which is Chris Paddock. Because
oh my God, that's my last guy.
No surprises here.
Yeah, I mean we're talking about guys who have never shown a good breaking ball and.
Yeah.
Have pushed the fastball as far as they can. I mean, the Paddock is right up there with McGill in spring stuff plus. He is averaging 94.5 for the whole spring, which is pretty good for him. 18 inches of vertical movement on the four seam.
And 7 feet of extension. Ever. It's like one tick lower from Mice, you know?
And the question is, does he have his changeup back? I don't know what the answer is because his changeups are finicky. It's hard to look at the numbers and figure it out. 24% whiff rate on 53 changeups is not vintage Paddock.
Right.
But 47% whiff rate on 48 curveballs, if he has finally found a breaking ball that works for him.
Man.
The slider has a 14% whiff rate.
It's not real, that thing. Yeah, just ignore that completely. That
I mean, he's not a good spinner. He doesn't spin it well, but he has worked on the curveball the longest. The curveball is the thing he's worked on the longest.
Yeah, yeah. I remember him actually talking about being excited about that one in like 2018 or 19.
Yeah, right. We're old. We can remember.
Yeah, I remember him being like, coming, or maybe it was even entering 2020. He's like, no, I really worked on my curveball. It's going to be, you know, I'm like, it's the same pitch.
Yeah. I mean, everything works better if you're 95 with a fastball. And I feel, you know, the vibes for me is he's pitching for his life. You know, he can see that, like, there were already rumbles that he might go to the pen this year.
Oh, man.
Festa and Zebby. And, like,
yeah,
you
right.
See all these people coming.
First one there. I'm with you. I mean, like, yeah, that's a great call there with Paddock. I'm very curious. And also, by the way, hey, he gets the White Sox and then at Seattle.
It's a pretty good.
I love that. I think that's right. I mean, it's two amazing matchups for both Mize and Paddock. I keep getting them confused because of the same guy. Just kidding. I'm going to throw some rapid fire at
you. If
you
had to pick one and maybe have some upside.
Mize is the one I would go for because it's more of a complete arsenal, I think. I think you're on the same page with me there.
I agree. Yeah.
It's just a quick rapid fire of things that I'm looking forward to. Landon Rupp's four seamer. I'm just curious to see how he uses that because he gets a surprising amount of whiffs on it, I believe, from the one data point that we had. But he keeps getting strikeouts, and I think he's actually utilizing it well. So I'm just curious to see what the whole arsenal looks like for him.
That like gyro slider cutter thing has been.
Oh, yeah.
He's threw out a lot, and it looks like it can be a bread and butter pitch, I think.
And then you have Richard Fitz's slider. Like, how good is it? Is it like I remember watching the game, but not getting data and thinking like, this is really good, I think. So I cannot wait to see that really go fully. I want to mention that Tristan McKenzie's curveball had a 198.5 PLV stuff plus across the two he threw yesterday in relief. I thought that was funny.
Richard Fitz has thrown 18 fastballs at 96 miles an hour and has not gotten a single whiff.
Really?
That's interesting.
That's surprising.
Those are tracked.
Huh. I'm actually shocked.
I think he's a good. I think he fits in my head as like Garrett Whitlock. Everyone thinks just like injured now, but like a Garrett Whitlock where it's like good secondaries, not a good fastball, and maybe the Red Sox will be like just throw just barely enough fastballs and it'll work, and maybe this is the right place for him to be.
Well, the good thing is that he throws six pitches, so he can certainly finagle that, and that's a really good point. I'm surprised to hear that, though, about the whiffs. Maybe it could honestly be location and timing, and I could extract it because it is an extension pitch. It is good enough vert. Velocity is obviously there. It's not to me, from what I've seen at least, it doesn't feel like it's that kind of movement that would not result in whips, right? 16, but maybe the arm angle is what I'm missing here.
15.7 inches.
Oh, that's not what I've seen.
That's just what is on Savant right now. Hmm. It's only 18 pitches, so it's, let's see what here. It's probably all one start.
We had a second game of it yesterday.
No, it's two starts. Two starts. It's only 228 and 314. But, I mean, it is 18 pitches, and it fits my preconceived motion, so my notion of my narrative for him.
There you
which
go.
Is bad fastball, good secondaries.
Man, I could have sworn I saw better than that. All right. Well, there was, oh, yeah. So you pitched in the Mexican League on Monday, and that was 17.6 IVB. That's what we have with 35 fastballs thrown, four seamers.
How do you have that? That's not in Savant.
I don't know, but I do. I have it here. I have that game, 96 mile per hour, four seamers. He threw them 50% of the time against lefties, 26 against righties. This is in
that's
our
better
PLO
than what
app.
We have. Savant has 15.7 on IVB. So, I mean, just generally, step back. His fastball is that was the no. You said you were worried about the slider. For me, the fastball is the intriguing pitch because I'm not sure it's good. And the velo's been up, but that velo hasn't been super consistent. So it's like, and you're saying you got 17 IVB in one place, and here it's 15. So the shape and the velo are inconsistent on the fastball.
Is it the location that's messing it up?
Maybe
it's possible. I'm just curious. Let's just say we're just curious about this.
Okay. Calibration because you're talking about Mexican League information, right?
Absolutely. And then the last one, also, I mean, I'm just curious about Drew Rasmussen in general. Let's just, I can't wait. Because I have no hard data, I think, on Rasmussen.
Mm-hmm.
Like none. They've hidden him completely, but they've just said great things. But no, the pitch that I'm most excited about this year, you know, one that I've gotten barely any data on, that I feel is a game changer for this pitcher who I already liked, but now I'm just like, my bold prediction is going to come true. And that is Robbie Ray's changeup. Oh my gosh. 118 PLV stuff plus for us. And
it looked pretty good. I watched his last start.
And if he's
tight pants.
I mean, this pitch against right-handers that limits home runs, bam. I mean, that's the last piece of the puzzle really for Robbie Ray. So I'm stoked about this.
It's the Tarek Skubal. He's threw 16 tracked ones with 10 inches of arm side movement, which is only 2 inches more than his four seam. So it's not good by that. But 11.6 inches vertical, and his four seam is 18.9. So he's a good fastball guy. And that is 7 to 8 inches of vertical movement. That's, I would say, a round average. But even if, let's say, he has an average changeup, that would be a big deal.
Yeah, exactly. If you can get strikes with this,
yeah,
is really the question. Can you just get enough strikes with it? Like 60%? Yeah, great. We're good. I mean, that will help him reduce home runs off the four seamer.
His biggest red spot is middle. But again, you know,
Robbie Ray.
He got a lot of juice out of that sinker for a while just by throwing something different because he's so four-seam slider, everyone's locked in on that. So even middle average changeups, especially if maybe the movement is moving in a direction that would reduce the homers, maybe I can do this for us real quick. We have expected home run rate.
Oh man, we do too. We haven't made it public yet, but yeah, I'm essentially going to be finding that to everything. I can't wait.
I've got it by pitch too, and that's by pitching plus 1.5 homers per nine or whatever. That's not good.
No.
But by stuff plus 0.899. So
all right, we'll take that.
Did not locate it well. Like I said, down the middle. But it says it will give up fewer homers by shape than his slider.
That's good too.
Yeah.
We'll take that. So Robbie Ray's changeup. Can't wait to see that one in action. I think he's pitching the third game. Webb, then Verlander, then Ray. Can't wait to see it. And, you know, I got to say, of all the pitching matchups, all the starters, not just the pitches anymore, tell me the one pitcher that you can be like, stop. Mom, I got to watch this right now. Who is it?
I think it's just going to be Roki until I figure out what I think of him.
I knew it. In my head, I'm like, he's going to be Roki, isn't he?
It's fascinating to me that he has all these like good qualities and all these bad qualities. He could not be good. He could be a high velo flameout. I mean, like, we've had guys like this before that just weren't as good as we thought they'd be when we read the radar gun.
It's, I call them a P's. P-E-A-S. Poor execution, awesome stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
I am excited about Graham Ashcraft in the pen, too.
He's such a piece.
I want to see him close. Because you know what his ERA is through the order? It's like a three the first time through the order, and it's like a five the second time through the order, which is like your second time you're supposed to be able to handle this, dude. And then it's like an eight the third time through.
Like, oh, I see why. There's worse coming. Okay.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So I'm like, you know, screw the second time through order. Here we go. And I just like, in terms of temperament and stuff, and he only has two pitches, like, just be 99 out of the pen with like a, like an 89 mile an hour sweeper. How many people could say they were like that, dude? Like,
yeah. I mean, you know, he couldn't locate when starting. So I'm ready. No. I'm what I'm saying is that you might be able to get away with being effectively wild more, especially if you're throwing harder.
Oh yeah.
So you actually,
do the Diaz thing, be like, walk him, strike out the next guy. I think his strikeout rate will go up. You know, he'll get some double plays because it's that cutter is his primary pitch. He's my favorite in the pen. I don't like Taylor Rogers.
I have a stupid idea that there are certain pitchers that either you have the best command, or like your best version of command, and your worst command. And it's a reverse bell curve of success. So like when you're at your point of having okay enough command and okay enough chaos, it's actually worse for you because guys get comfortable in the box and they hit that terrible command. But when it's so bad, it's like Hayden Birdsong. It's like they can't hit it when it is a strike. They don't know when it's coming, where it's
effectively
going.
Effectively wild.
Exactly. So he needs to be more effectively wild. Okay. And if that means by adding extra velo, he's just even more all over the place. Works for closer.
I think he could be devastating if you just, you know, this guy doesn't know what he's doing and where he's going and is 99 with a 90 mile an hour sweeper even. Do it.
Oh my gosh.
90 mile an hour sweeper. I don't think we've seen one.
Oh man.
Probably not good for you.
No. But does Graham Ashcraft care anymore?
Again, these things all become more viable the closer you are being like, oh, I may not have a job otherwise.
Right. Anyway. I'm ready to watch Jacob deGrom dominate. That's the one for me. I just can't wait for that. And it's just like, oh.
And we have to deal with a day of no baseball. Read up. Make sure all your lineups are set. Be prepared.
That's right, guys. Tomorrow.
Watch a little basketball if you have to. Or
stop. Stop.
Take the wife out. Take the wife and kids out and be like, I won't see you guys for a while. Let's go. Let's go have a nice meal.
Wow, you do my accent perfectly. It's amazing. All right, Eno, thank you so much for joining me today on this episode. One more time, remind everybody what you're up to and where they can find your stuff.
Rates and Barrels is having the live shows at Bear Bottle on Thursday and Friday. The show starts at 4:30. We'll be there before that. You'll find me on Nick's live stream tomorrow. I've got bold predictions up, and I've got a fun story that I'm putting together for next week. Ooh. About, you know, I always wanted to do this. I'm not doing this. I'm doing something like it. But I always wanted to trace Tyler Clippard's splitter grip through baseball.
Oh, that's fun. The grip
because he had, at some point, he did teach. He got taught from somebody, and he taught Kirby Yates, I think. Yeah. And he taught, there was like a Angels closer for a while that had it. So I had this all lined up, but then it just disappeared. This, I think I can. I think I have a pitch that I can grip that I can from inception.
Oh man!
To now, I can trace how everybody learned it. There's one pitcher I haven't figured out how he learned it. I've talked to him about it. I have to go find the Instagram because he said he saw it on Instagram.
So. Can I guess?
No, what pitch? I don't want to talk. No, 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 no.
No, no, no. You got a good poker face. I play poker with you.
No, 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 no.
No, he doesn't. Okay.
I don't have a good
I'm going to do it off air. Guys, in the comments right now, make sure you put in your guess and you'll see what it'll be like next week.
It might be obvious, but it'll still be.
I don't know if it's obvious. I had to sit there and think about it. There's one pitch I've heard in like whispers that I'm learning this pitch, you know, It's a very unique pitch. I don't know. We'll see. You just gotta, you gotta tune in next week, guys. But and of course, you gotta tune into opening day. If you're listening right now and it's in baseball is on and you're watching it on MLB.tv, what are you doing? Stop watching it there. Come to playback.tv/pitchers. Watch that same game with the entire community. It's amazing. Stop watching baseball alone, guys. All right. So playback.tv/pitchers. I'll see you guys there tomorrow morning or tomorrow afternoon, 2:45 p.m. Eastern time. But that is it. So on the behalf of Eno Saris, my wonderful guest, thank you for being here. My name is Nick Pollock, and we'll talk about the craft of pitching again next week.